As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Good Lord in heaven. You're having nothing but trouble getting in the box here. Let's see. What have we got going? What on earth do we got going? Well, I've got a real strong feeling we might be on air. Not hearing anything from Oracle, however. We'll run through this first segment, folks, and get back on the air again here. It seems that we're still having some trouble using the phone box. Getting in and out of Oracle has not been pleasant this last couple of weeks. Nevertheless, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks. It's time once again for a show-me showdown. We got breakfast on the table. We got perplexity on my mind, that's for sure. And welcome to our Thursday, December the 17th, two-hour broadcast. Live broadcast to become vocal local. We come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always perplexed. It's very difficult to get these broadcasts started when the bumps don't fire, when the logins don't work properly. Let's see what we got going over here. Good thing we got a short segment here in the beginning to take a look at and see how things are going. It looks to me like we're on there. We've got about 3 minutes and 5 seconds to go to break. If all things are working just fine. Let's forget the pleasantries for today. Go into the market report a little bit. For Thursday, December the 17th, 2009, active trading. It's going to be a good, interesting broadcast today, folks. I've got some very, very interesting material to share with you. A book that I've had in my library for many years. And I'm going to take some time to share with you some things. We're still in this Zionism series. But let's go into this market report for Thursday, December the 17th, 2009, active trading. Out of New York City, as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, gold was trading down $22.60. They're really slamming it this morning at $1,114.90. Silver was off 36 cents, trading at $17.33. Platinum down $24 at $14.29. And palladium off $6, trading at $366. Everything's dropping rapidly in London and New York. $1,111.90 is the low in the market so far this morning. $1,136 is the high. At $1,114.90, though, your gold is still up $277.90, so you're not doing too bad for a 33.21% return on your investment. The London gold fix this morning, the boys in London set the price at $1,121.50. The Dow Jones closed off 11 yesterday at 10,441. The NASDAQ was up 6 at 2207. The S&P was up 1 at 1109. Crude oil this morning off 74 cents, $71.92 a barrel. That USDX keeps moving up, 0.84, up 84 basis points this morning at 77.74. So whatever is pumping that thing up, they got the air hose over there and they've hooked up the compressor and they got it running full blast. Anyway, in the foreign exchange rates, a lot of the opposite happens. Whenever the USDX goes up, the foreign exchange rates in our little weight-traded basket of currencies go down, and that's what we see happen today. The Canadian dollar loses 111 basis points, trades at 93 cents U.S. Mexican peso off 128 points at 8 cents. The euro is down 121 points at $1.44. The British pound loses 154 basis points, trades at $1.61. And the Swiss franc off 99 at 95 cents U.S. Bond market, the yield on the 2 year is running 0.78. Oh, too very low there. The 10-year is at 3.52. The 30-year is at 4.47. The mortgage markets, the 15-year mortgage, the 30-year, well, hey, there's the music. We have been on air. Thank goodness for that. We'll get this thing started properly on the other side. Sorry about the little glitch there. Something going on inside the box.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at PureBulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at PureBulk.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday. No, this is not Tuesday. It's Thursday. Thursday, December the 17th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Even when we have to bring spurs and a whip. OracleBroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always got good news, supposedly. Hard facts. I don't know if we can find any good news. I'm not going to even talk about news this morning. Hard facts, lots of that, and workable solutions. Well, we're not going to talk about much of solutions either. It's going to be hard facts this morning. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. To be part of the broadcast, you can always pick up the phone, call throughout the broadcast. Area code 512-904-8014 is the Austin, Texas number. Join me live on air, and from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Of course, your calls are always welcome. Thank goodness I was able to get the computer back up online. We're back in the studio computer again this morning. Unfortunately, we're not able to log on properly, so I'll have to check and see what the dickens is going on there. But we'll get all these little glitches and snafus worked out, ironed out, and then we'll get back to things going smoothly, hopefully next week. Talked to Vicki via email last evening, let her know that I was just going to try it on my own again this morning. Hopefully we'll get back together with Vicki for Tuesday and Thursday of next week. Been doing a series this morning, this last few days, on Zionism. What is it? What isn't it? If you've just tuned in for the first time this morning, you can go up to the show archives, go up the website, oraclebroadcasting.com, look on the left side, go down through the list, you'll see show archives. When that page opens up, scroll down until you see Become Vocal Local and click on that. And we're going through, it looks like it's going to be a five-day run on Zionism. What is Zionism? Everybody hears about Zion and Zionism and all of that nonsense. The Jews did everything. Well, the Jews are very important to pay attention to, but when we're talking about Jews, there's a difference between Jews necessarily and Zionists, but a lot of Jews have been Zionists, and a lot of Christians are Zionists these days, too. What's with all of that? We're going to find out a little bit more about it. The first couple of days this week, I shared with you right out of the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences a lengthy article on Zionism, written by a Hans Kohn, K-O-H-N, Hans Kohn. And in the bibliography, the books that you could consult, the books that were consulted for writing this particular document and books for further study, one of the various books that are listed right in the middle of this almost a full page of bibliographical material is a book. It's titled The Spirit of World Politics by William Ernest Hocking, published in New York in 1932. Curiously enough, and, well, serendipitously, I just happen to have that book in my library. I've had it in my library for many years. Rather interesting, quick story as to how it came into my library. One morning, I woke up in my little log cabin, and it was that time of the month where it was time to go into town and restock my larder. So I got up early for the process and drove all the way into Neosho, Missouri, which was the Confederate capital during the Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression. A lot of the southwest corner of Missouri was not interested in Abraham Lincoln and his bunch of socialists and their program. Anyway, Neosho was the state capital for a while as the Confederates grouped up down here. So right across the street from the county courthouse there, there was a bookseller. And I went into the bookshop, as I always do when I went to town, and I walked through this bookstore, and I was in these stacks of books, and my left hand just shot out. It was peculiar. And touched the back of a book. It's never happened before. It hasn't happened since. But I looked over and saw where my hand was resting, and it was on the spine of a book, again, The Spirit of World Politics, about 2 inches thick, hardbound. But this was a library book. It has the D463H57 sticker stuck on the bottom of it. And so I pulled it out of the shelf, and I just, you know, just brought it right home. Bought it and brought it. But this is just like the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences. This is published by the Macmillan Company, as I mentioned yesterday. This is a publishing company that you want to pay attention to when you're out and about. This book, published by the Macmillan Company, by William Ernest Hocking, he was a professor of philosophy, Harvard University, with special studies of the Near East, and published in 1932 as it was. It's a rather interesting book in that this book was published in 1932. And in this book, on page 13, written in very wonderful, careful handwriting, in the spine, right up tight in the margin, it says 9/15/32, $3.75. Book number 19289, The Social Sciences Department, discarded. Discarded. This book came into the library, as it says here, on the 15th of September of 1932, and was summarily discarded. This was the Westminster College Library, if you remember. Winston Churchill spoke there. The Westminster College Library in Fulton, Missouri, which was chartered in 1853. Apparently, this book was probably passed around a little bit in the social sciences department from professor to professor, perhaps. They took one look at this book, and they decided to discard it, to reject it out of the library. Why? Well, it's extremely controversial. and very illuminating. And we're going to hear from it today. I'm going to spend the full 2 hours working out of the book. But he says, basically, starting off in the preface, the dealings of nations with one another are governed neither by clear principle nor by crude self-interest, but by a spirit which in the midst of a clash of interests still gropes for principles. But the search for principles is a business by itself. If much experience were sufficient to produce a knowledge of principle, then men of experience, or the men of action, quote-unquote, would have completed their code long ago. Naturally, the thinking done by these men is of the first importance, but they work at a disadvantage. The world scale of facts, hard facts, the world scale of facts eludes direct grasp, and immersion in action at last submerges all but the sturdiest thinkers. The best hope is in a mixture, an interplay of reflection with the masses of selected facts. And that's kind of what we're tasked with today, is this idea of going through this mixture and interplay and reflection of the masses of selected facts and trying to make our way through this maze of information. In selecting the facts for the present study, the author writes, William Ernest Hawking, I have considered that the temper of world politics today is controlled more profoundly by the incidence of inequality or supposed inequality than by any other circumstance. By our treatment of people held to be backward and the malaise which insistently requires an examination of the ethics of that relationship. Pick it up on the other side. We're going to talk about backward, developed, developing nations, Copenhagen's in process, Israel, Palestine, the Jews, the Zionists, and more.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit TPR20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs. TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On TPR20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain. Visit TPR20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's TPR20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet Spy products today. Because video never lies.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, y'all, pull up a chair. Come on over to Kordak Country every Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
And we're back. I would encourage you to jot this name down in the title of this book. Once again, the book title is The Spirit of World Politics. The Spirit of World Politics. And it was written by William Ernest Hocking. It's E-R-N-E-S-T. William Ernest Hocking. I have looked from time to time over the years since I've got this book and added it to my library to see whether I could find additional copies, copies that I could send to friends and other people that I could get off of Alibri or Amazon or other places. I've never found another copy of this book. Just like the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, there are some things that have just been taken away from us. If you're out there and you're listening, you're a student or near a university library, you might pop in and see whether or not in their card catalog or in their stacks or in their archives or in their dead room, you might find The Spirit of World Politics by William Ernest Hocking, published by the Macmillan Publishers in 1932. If you can find one, buy it. Check it out. Read it. And study it. There's no way on this broadcast or on a series of broadcasts that I can cover this book. It runs... We're back on air, it looks like. Not having a tremendous amount of success with the system here this morning. We are on air. We've got 3 minutes and 11 seconds to go. Oh, okay, so we're back again. The whole system seems to be collapsing on me this morning. So let's go through this again. I'm just going to give it out to you. If we're unable to have a broadcast today, I want you to at least walk away with the title of this book and then make an inquiry and see if you can find it for yourself. Once again, it's called The Spirit of World Politics. It's by William Ernest Hocking. William Ernest Hocking, Macmillan Publishing, 1932. And it is an extremely important book to add to your library. We're going to go through some of this today as we try and make our way through this morning's broadcast, which seems to be just a comedy collection or a colloquy of errors running here. Anyway, he continues, and we're talking now about backward countries. We talk about developing countries every day when we study Agenda 21, always the backward and developing countries, all right? But this is in 1932. This is prior to the establishment of the United Nations, prior to the establishment of Israel. And so we've got stuff going on here. Let's see. Now I've got a U there coming in here. Let's see whether we got something coming in that. Okay. I see you're back up now. Yep. All right. I'm back up. So we've had nothing but trouble getting on air this morning. The last 30 minutes has been a ball of garbage. Hopefully it won't happen again. But anyway, for problems of this sort, again, Hocking writes this, the Near East and the African region adjacent to it present the compactest field. All the varieties of our political invention are assembled there. To be sure, relations are everywhere. No one needs to travel to find them. But they are not everywhere alive with the same intensity, nor everywhere subject to the same intelligent regard and continuous novel adjustment. The situations in Egypt, Palestine, Syria are being newly thought out almost from month to month. The experimental side of the mandate is here the most problematic and igneous, giving heat and arousing it. It was such notions as these which governed my choice when in 1928 an opportunity to travel presented itself through the Bureau of International Research of Harvard University and Radcliffe College. And so then he goes on and he talks about this getting ready to travel to the Near East, which he did in 1928. He'd been in the process of writing another book. Now, I've found references to that book, but I've never been able to get a copy of that book. That one would be very interesting to find as well. Now, hopefully, when we come back from this break, we'll be able to do one segment of today's broadcast without interruption.
Always remember those with the strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. It can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
All right, so we're back once again, doing the best we can, salvaging this hour of broadcasting. But anyway, back to our book again. He'd been completing a book of theory about the rights and duties of nations, but this period of travel that he undertook altered his perception considerably. And the product of that alteration is this book, The Spirit of World Politics. Continuing again from the preface, he says, I'm led by this belief into two or three major points of hostility to current tendencies. Again, 1932, 1928. Hostility first to any kind of determinism, economic or other. Now, for those of you who listen carefully, you know that every time I give you these isms, you need to be making notes of them. Determinism. Do you know who is the founder? You know, what is the faith statement? Understand determinism. Which resigns the affairs of the world to the contests of interests and capital P powers. Interests and powers. Then to pragmatism. Again, pragmatism. Who's behind that? John Dewey? And to the belief that morals and manners are relative to time and place. Auguste Comte? Everything is relative and that is the only absolute. The belief that morals and manners are relative to time and place, which would destroy and advance the possibility of an ethical understanding among men and of a well-founded international law. Thirdly, hostility to the pernicious theory that government has nothing to do with ethics or with general culture. Suppose that we undertake to administer a dependency. What is a dependency? We have the several states, and then we have like the, what is it, the Mariana Islands. We have these dependencies, these little appendages. So again, suppose that we undertake to administer a dependency and that we succeed in bringing about order and improved economy, regularity of accounts, and a modicum of Western education. That would be sufficient to allow any official annual report to bristle with proud points of quote-unquote progress. But suppose that in achieving these things, a national art is killed, a culture undermined, and the customary moral life of a people contaminated, circumstances unlikely to figure in official annual reports. Again, the writings of William Ernest Hocking, a professor of philosophy at Harvard University, 1932. He has more than a mean mind happening here. Shall we still count the total result a success? If these latter effects mean something to mankind, by what agency, if not that of government, is mankind to protect its concern? If government will not consider the imponderables for the sake of their inherent value, then it will find itself forced to consider them as Bismarck was forced, that's Germany, because the incidental consequences of ignoring them begin in due time to weigh more than the positive eye-catching ponderables. My choice of the Near East as a field, and the subsequent absorption in certain of the special problems of that region has had at least one inconvenience. It has involved me in comments more or less critical on French and British administrations, while the question remains unexamined whether the United States and its corresponding relationships is subject to similar strictures. I should have desired, had there been a physical possibility of doing so, to extend my travel and to include an equally careful study of this theme. It will, however, be evident to the reader that the principles arrived at are general in their application and are destined to alight at home. I count that nation definitely in arrears in the ethical work of the world which declines to become a partner with the members of the League of Nations in inviting, as France and England do invite, the public opinion of enlightened men to be brought to bear on its international conduct. So he was at this time still a supporter of the idea of the League of Nations. We'll also find that he's a bit of an internationalist. We'll also find that at least when he made his voyage to the Near East, he considered himself a Zionist. It will be apparent that there is no inclination here, in pointing out political evils, to undervalue the good that is present and has been present with them. Good and evil are so entangled with one another in the hard business of international action that it is easy to despair of getting them apart. There are not a few able men who, like Sir Arnold Wilson, definitely believe the work of empire to be at once a wholly religious mission, burdened with the whole gravamen of Christian nurture and a labor of unshrinking masculinity in which mortal squeamishness is peculiarly out of place. If men and women will eat meat, someone must be the butcher. And to become a vegetarian is not the right response to this unpleasantness. Such a view will always have a strong case, but I add that in so far as severity enters the political ordering of the world, there must be an ethics of severity, and not an ethical evasion, and more particularly, that there must be no sly smuggling in of greedy privilege under the guise of heroic duty. To attack the obvious evils of our imperial procedures is therefore anything but an unfriendly deed. It is an act of confidence in the possibility of an honest magnanimity in the great undertakings of world government. It would be impossible to name here all the persons to whom I owe an acknowledgement, and so on. It closes out. October, written in October of 7, 1931, in Paris, France, by William Ernest Hocking, the preface to this book. And he talks about backwardness. He talks about backwardness, the developing countries, and our idea, our Western man's idea of what is backward and what is not backward. And there's lots of this that I can read from, but I don't have the time here. The measures, let's start here. The measures we actually make use of in judging degrees of backwardness are many. Each good that civilization attains, each evil that it avoids, supplies a test. But it belongs to human nature that the evils take our first attention. In our perceptions of a strange land, we are less aware of the satisfactions it achieves than of the ills it has failed to remedy. You can imagine our author traveling in the 30s, in the late 20s and early 30s, to Egypt and Assyria and Palestine and that region, and what he saw then, almost 100 years ago. And he's talking about this idea of backwardness and this Western ignorance and arrogance that looks at differing cultures and consider them to be backward in Western philosophy. One who enters for the first time the harbor of Alexandria, he writes, will almost certainly make an unfavorable note upon any society that tolerates the horde of able-bodied brigands who quarrel for your luggage and inverting every honest idea of service demand to be entrusted with your property at the peril of your personal comfort and dignity, and it continues. But this tendency is radical. The anxieties of the civilized visitors will be dominant in their choice of standards. The European will look out upon the Orient, capital O, from the refuge of his hotel in the, capital E, European quarter, considering first how he can be personally guarded from the objects of his pet antipathies, and asking, then, of the alien world about him, such questions as these. How does this people get over the ground, save time, lessen the irks of travel, fight disease, dispose of dirt and offal, manage their other problems of congested human habitation, ward off excesses of heat and cold, excesses of weight, wet and drought? How does it remove the fear of hunger, minimize the perils of childbirth and infancy, dispel the ignorance of daily affairs and deeper ignorances, curb the cruder outbursts of temper? If one is technically disposed, he looks into vital statistics, laws, courts, prisons, schools. And only after all of this is he ready to consider the positive measures of civilization. What of the durable satisfactions of life come to this people? What refinements of sense and reason? What sport and amusement? What luxury and adornment? What art? What literature? What philosophy and religion? What joy in the greatest of the improvisatory arts, the art of personal intercourse among friends and in the family? Now, all of the questions here mentioned are relevant to the measure of backwardness, but the substance of them all reduces to two or three points. Again, as we convene and come to the conclusion of this Copenhagen climate conference, we have again these versus the West, the North versus the South, the quote-unquote developed nations in this contradistinction to the developing nations, or as they called them simply here back in the 30s, the backward nations. But he's asking, all the questions here mentioned are relevant to the measure of backwardness, but the substance of them all reduces to two or three points, and here they are. The first of these is the mastery of nature. That is to say, science and its applications, economic and military. Ponder that. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit TPR20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs. TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On TPR20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one, and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain. Visit TPR20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's TPR20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962. Pulling back the curtain to expose the matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowda. Weeknights 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
We're back once again, and I don't want to tarry too long, but I'll just simply say that I've got a Skype message during the broadcast from Mike Chambers. He has found at least one copy that may be out there. So, folks, you get on the Internet and see if you can find a copy of this book for your library. You will not be sorry that you did. Take the time to read it. There's so much material and so many references in here that I've never found in any other source, and so many links and leads that it really opens up for you the understanding of the creation of this illegitimate box of rocks known as Israel. And it's very important because there's a lot of things that were happening then, things that he was basically anticipating or talking about in the future that have come to pass in spades. Okay, so let's go in again. He says the substance of them, well, I'll start over again. Now, all of the questions here mentioned are relevant to the measure of backwardness, but the substance of them all reduces to two or three points. And remember, this book was summarily discarded from the library that it was ordered into and purchased into. It had hardly graced the shelves. The first of these is the mastery of nature. That is to say, science and its applications, economic and military. This is our chief criterion of that capacity to use, and it's quote-unquote capacity to use. And if you look throughout Agenda 21, the big orange book, they have subheads under capacity building in every one of the 40 chapters. Nothing changes. This is our chief criterion of that capacity to use, the land. So fateful for economic penetration, for it is through science that the possibilities of nature have become known and controllable, quote-unquote, backward peoples, for the most part, are peoples who have not caught the spirit of controlling the physical conditions of life through the knowledge of natural law. Now, he's using natural law here slightly different, quite different than I do, quite different from the laws of nature and nature's God that we find in the Declaration. His idea of natural law here, he's really talking about physical sciences. This spirit with us is one which does not wait for knowledge to happen and for inventions to occur. It has created an aggressive and united campaign of discovery and a marvelously reliable technique of invention. The quote-unquote, and he's using them, progressive peoples are progressive people campaign here, then you as a people are simply backwards. Now, he continues, now there are no peoples on the planet wholly innocent of the idea of natural law. This idea is built into the structure of the animal mind in general. What has happened once we, the animal kingdom, notice the references here, it's very important. He also has a book of philosophy out there that I've never been able to get. I've ordered it a couple of times only to find that the book was not available. I'd love to get my hands on it. But we, the animal kingdom, expect to happen again in the same circumstances. Otherwise, habit, the basis of regular living, would have no foothold. In other words, in his idea, the natural law is that when you swing your bed out, your feet out of the bed in the morning, you stand on the floor, you stand up, that you're actually not standing on the ceiling. It gives a certain confidence that things are going to happen over and over again. But peoples differ enormously in the degree to which they trust themselves to this idea, and especially in the degree to which they conceive supernatural, incalculable factors to mingle with the impersonal, calculable factors of physical events. Now, have you listened on a regular basis to Freeman or, and other hosts on the network? You know, there are many people that are saying, hey, look, folks, there's something else out here. We're locked up in a five senses reality. Maybe we have more. Perhaps some of the backward people in the past were tapped into things that were unlike Western man's five sense reality. This busy beaver, the doers, the thinkers, and the loafers concept. Anyway, he's pointing a little bit towards that today. Though there is no hostility in reason between religion and science, it remains true that the peoples who have given most to religion have become backward in science. The West, for 300 years, has followed the maxim, science at all costs. And he capitalizes at that. And as much religion as science allows. Science at all costs, and as much religion as science allows. The East, capital E, for as many thousands of years has followed the maxim, religion, capital R, at all costs, and as much science as we can then find leisure to notice. Thus, the East has condemned itself in advance by this measure to backwardness. Superficial observers have often reached the conclusion that religion itself is the enemy. They note that within progressive communities there are quote-unquote reactionary or backward parts, and that these are the ecclesiastical parts. They call upon a new Russia and a new Turkey to abolish the religious system of the people, that the methods of science may have free play. Thus, when the priests of the Russian church propose to meet an insect pest, threatening to ruin the crops by making a ceremonial procession around the fields and sprinkling holy water, they place themselves and their faithful in that backward class. Not so much by what they do, as by what they have prevented being done. Likewise, when village sheikhs of Egypt oppose the efforts of government and school to promote the use of clean drinking water in place of the filthy and stagnant waters of Nile canals, they hold themselves in so far backward. If Islam were committed to the proposition that any effort we men make to control our physical fortunes is impious, since the will of Allah has fixed all things in advance, health and disease, life and death, Islam and backwardness would be coextensive. But inasmuch as no good Muslim would fail, through piety, to step out of the path of a mad bull, there is nothing in his logic to prevent his avoiding a microbe. The premise of Islam, necessity, is the premise of science itself. It is not in this note of determinant order that the backwardness lies, but in the do-nothing conclusion. Resignation, Islam, in advance of action. This conclusion has no particular pertinence to Islam. More science does not require less religion, either in Islam or elsewhere. Now, our second measure, he says, is public morality. This is the most searching and at the same time the most dangerous criterion of civilization. Every people use it in judging every other people, and every people has reason to shrink from applying it too searchingly to itself. Its use invites hypocrisy and self-righteousness. Nevertheless, it would be folly to attempt escaping what is really at the bottom of this Western judgment of backwardness. For at its source, the scientific spirit is also a moral attitude. Though morality itself eludes observation, not to say measure, there are certain objective signs of its cruder degrees, such as the frequency or the infrequency of crimes, of violence, the ability of people, and especially of strangers, to move about unarmed and unmolested, to transport and display goods without danger of banditry, to express opinions, however opposed to those of the hearers, without meeting physical hostility. Thus, when a Serbian deputy in the Yugoslavian Skupština, probably butchered that, at Belgrade, kills two Croat deputies and wounds three others, a caustic British editor sees in this issue whether Yugoslavia is to belong to the civilized or to Balkan Europe. Acquiescence of a community in organized crime through fear of witnessing against the criminals is rightly taken as evidence of backwards morale. If there is a reign of terror, this is a quote, reign of terror in Asyut, I don't know where that is, close quote, that is pertinent to the status of Egypt, if amongst Indians of the better classes there is a growing disposition to assist the police, even at considerable personal risk, that is pertinent to the status of India. If Chicago and New York or the southern states acquiesce in orgies of lynching or murder, these facts are justly taken as pertinent to the soundness of American civilization. If Italy uproots the mafia, Italy removes a notorious mark of backwardness. But the index of public crime is sensitive to certain less obvious phases of public morality. The honesty of administration, a traditional honor of service, superior to that form of personal enrichment at public expense, commonly called corruption, and the reliability of justice, whereby the least favored can be sure of his due against the most favored in the land. Justice. Justice. Back with much more on the other side of this first break. I hope you get the measure of backwardness.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet spy products today. Because video never lies.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, December the 17th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. In the first hour, amid faulty starts and other things, I begin to introduce this book to you, The Spirit of World Politics, and especially introducing to you the mind of this author, William Ernest Hocking. This being written by a professor of philosophy of Harvard University back in 1932, published by the Macmillan Company out of New York. with the spirit of world politics, with special studies of the Near East. This at a time when it still meant something to be a professor at Harvard University, and a degree from Harvard was still valuable. Can't say that for it today. But he's laying out some pretty basic material here, some very important information to understand at the time period they were moving into. The time period is important. Post-World War I, pre-World War II, the roll-up between World War I, World War II, coming into the Versailles Treaty, the League of Nations coming on board. Many of the internationalists championing, moving into position, trying to establish a United Nations, writing in advance of all of that, looking at things from both a philosophical and a political science and historical viewpoint, speaking truth to power, if you will, exposing certain arrogances in Western man. And we're going to go to Palestine in this hour, so do stick around for the rest. If it goes right over the top of your head, fear not, just go back. It's archived. I'm reading it directly out of the book. This was written by a university professor. Every page, every quotation is footnoted. It's loaded with material for further research. If you can get your hands on a copy of the book for any reasonable price, do so. If you want to understand what's happening in the Middle East and where it came from. Dropping down further again, he says, though the capitulations were at first simply privileges granted to foreigners to invite trade, it was doubt as to the quality of the Oriental brand of justice which fastened them, and especially the capitulation of extraterritoriality upon Oriental countries. The capitulations were in every case something more than institutions of privilege. They were instituted judgments of moral backwardness in the official fiber of the peoples involved. In the case of Islam, the disparagement was at first mutual. Japan, Turkey, Siam, and now China have reached the point of rejecting this mark of backwardness. In other words, they're beginning to embrace science at this time. It would be well, as these institutions pass one by one into history. Shall I say that again? It would be well, as these institutions pass one by one into history, if the West could say that they had not been habitually used to protect Western criminals in Oriental trade from receiving the punishments which Oriental law would have given them. They will leave behind them a note of disillusionment as to the moral quality of the West. But they will have recorded the inescapable importance of public morality as a measure of advancement. There is a third measure, which is, in a sense, a union of the first two. It is the condition of the common people, perhaps the most patent and reliable of all tests of civilization. The presumption is that if the economic problem has been well and scientifically faced in any community, the common people will not be in misery. Did you see the jobs reports this morning, my friends? Even more. Many more unemployed. The common people will not be in misery. Dirty, disease, threatened at every change of the seasons with famine. Codex Alimentarius, looming right ahead. Pick it up right there. The condition of the common people, a third measure of the development of man. We'll be back.
Heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, welcome back to our Thursday, December the 17th, 2009, live broadcast of Become Vocal Local, sharing with you today the writings of William Ernest Hocking in his book, The Spirit of World Politics. As a frequent caller for years on internet and shortwave radio, I have talked to some of the greatest lights in the Zionist movement, you know, anti-Zionism. It's the Jews. Well, there's a lot of truth to all of that. Many of the Christian broadcasters as well. And I've asked many of them, point blank on air, whether or not they'd ever heard of William Ernest Hocking or whether or not they'd ever read the book, The Spirit of World Politics, and I get a big zero, a goose egg each time, which is a shame because this book really opens up an understanding of what is going down in the East, in the Near East, far better than some of the people that have come along in the last decade or two writing books and becoming famous for their eloquence and dissertations on all things Israel without really understanding what was going down here, I don't think. Maybe they do. Maybe they're just concealing it. But we're going to open up some more of that this morning. Continuing, however attractive, and again, we're looking at the three measures or the three yardsticks for measuring the backwardness of people, backward people, the developing countries. The ignorance and the arrogance of Western man sometimes is profound. The backward people, however attractive the elite of any civilization may be, however, refined, luxurious, intelligent, hospitable, the acceptance of squalor and ignorance and serfdom on the part of the human masses for the sake of producing this human flower conveys a sense of rottenness and unreality. The Western traveler and the Western official alike are inclined to take their cue directly from the aspect of the common people. Even the aristocrat, the confirmed believer in landed privilege at home, will become immune like Cromer, Lord Cromer, in Egypt, to the charm of landed privilege in the Orient, until he is sure that the kurbash, the corvée, and the load occasioned by corruption have ceased to depress the peasantry. The genuine advancement of a nation cannot far out surpass the quality of its masses. These are the primary measures. Have they any general validity? Or are they just Western prejudices due to the history of Western ideas? Now, in this book of many chapters, as I said, over 500 pages, It gives you, let me see if I can turn to it carefully, in the table of contents, it gives us a great understanding of what was going down at that time. He talks about backwardness, the measure of backwardness. Are these standards local? Are the measures sufficient? Then in part two, he goes into the burdens of Egypt, national Egypt, Egypt's capacity for self-government, its factors of growth, capacity of Britain to govern Egypt, foreign interest in Egypt, the price of independence. Part three, nationality and self-determination, the many nations, nations as born and nations as made, the national ego and its egoism, the right to self-determination, how that right is to be judged. Part four, mandates, the burden of Syria. The mandate idea, Syria, the beginning, Syria, the sequel, inner contradictions, problems of surveillance, part five, mandates, the burden of Palestine, which is where we're going to read more from right after this, Palestine, an impasse, political Zionism, part six, B and C, mandates and colonies, forced labor, problems of international control, all this before World War II, by the way. Studies in the philosophy of world order, capital W, capital O. The fate of Islamic culture. Is there a moral code for states? The ethical queerness of states. The way to a political ethics. Role of the League, that would be the League of Nations. The ethics of inequality. And then closes with persons and property. So let's just turn over a little bit. Who is this we'll talk about from time to time? Cromer. You'll hear it, Cromer. It's Sir Evelyn Baring, Lord Cromer. All right, let's turn over here. Very carefully. Old book. I value this book. And we can start off on this section, Palestine, an impasse. There's too much to read in 45 minutes to get it all, so we'll have to skip around a little bit. Unlike most of the books in my library, this book has not been underlined, it's not been highlighted, it has not been margin written, and I'm not going to do it. So it's not quite as easy for me to use this on air as other books in my library, which I have taken the liberty to mark up considerably. But just to give you a little bit, he starts off, from Jerusalem to Bethlehem is a pleasant 5-mile walk. If one starts an hour before sunrise, he can reach the old monastery at the top of the hill, looking down on both cities in time to see daybreak over the mountains of Moab and the Dead Sea. At this hour, the contours of the tumbled wilderness, which wastes away from the stubble of the nearby fields to the denuded rocks of the lower valley, are sharply visible in the contrast of light and shadow. Motor traffic has not yet begun on the high road. Only the rural Arabs are abroad, bringing their market truck to town on donkeys or camels. Here at the Crusader's Rampart, or farther on at the Tomb of Rachel, one can still summon the illusion of antiquity and find the landscape a fit setting for those occasional authentic spots whereon the historical sense dwells with the particular satisfaction which for many millions of souls, Jewish, Christian, and Muslim, constitute the primary meaning of Palestine. All right, so there's a lot more here. I'm just going to turn over a little bit. I'm going to go to the next one. Zionism, I'm jumping ahead, just skipped about 15 pages. Zionism is no ordinary national movement. For many Jews, it embodies in one concrete program the entire social and religious idealism of the race. Zion, the ultimate symbol of Jewish vision, concentrates itself into itself the intense longing of the intensest of human races. He's speaking with a little bias in here. He's used the idea of race. There is no such thing as that. It's a religion. The Jews are not now a nation so much as a people pregnant with nationality. And in our previous study from Hans Kohn, who will be referred to in this book, Hans Kohn, has opened up and revealed in his writings here of the intense nationalism that Zionism embodies, nationalism. Zionism is to be the birth of this latent nation, and every Jew is to know the reanimating influence of what a part of Jewry thus realizes. Why should Jews, international in fact and spirit, wish to add one more to the number of national boundaries and rivalries in the world? The answer is, they do not. They wish only to incorporate a distinction which exists and to give it a regular status in which it can work for human understanding rather than for prejudice and dislike. No one who is not a Jew could venture to say how strong today is that conviction of separate historic mission implied in the biblical idea of the chosen people. But wholly apart from this, the international Jew knows, as few know, the value of a quote-unquote national home. Go into that and much more in the rest of this hour. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit TPR20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs. TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On TPR20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one, and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain. Visit TPR20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. And dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's TPR20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962. Two's Company, Three's Allowed, with your host, Sean.
Sean, a.k.a. Surplus.
Sunday, 11 p.m. Central.
On the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
All right, so we're back once again. And if you would think about all of the time and all of the effort and all of the money that has been expended to promote sustainable development and Agenda 21. All of the time and the effort and the money that is being expended to propagandize and proliferate the idea of man-made global warming. Think about all of the hundreds and likely hundreds of millions of people that died in the last 100 years to bring forth this idea of modern socialism, the planned economy. Wrap your mind around the gravity of what it is that we're talking about here, this fundamental building block on a new world order. Right into the book again. But wholly apart from all of this, the International Jew, Nesta Webster's book, The International Jew, as few know, the value of a national home, quote-unquote national home. It's no mere place of refuge. It's not merely a satisfaction for an obscure homing instinct on the part of a homeless people. It is not alone the promise of an answering and protecting nationhood, now more than ever needed when all the nations are strengthening their national consciousness. It is all these, but it is also, and first of all, a religious goal and a profound psychological promise. For it means that through well-rounded occupational activity, the Jew will find himself and will show himself to the world, a complete personality. It is Jewish self-consciousness that speaks through Zionism. Quote, at present, we are not, as a people, farmers, mechanics, soldiers, engineers, statesmen, or sportsmen. We have been obliged by our anomalous situation as permanent strangers to specialize in a few directions. Henceforth, we shall be everything, develop every human aptitude and power in our own measure, and so meet the calumny that we are in our souls part men, cunning and parasitic. On the soil of our fathers, we shall become what we are, renew our cultural fertility, and repay mankind blessing for persecution. Close quote. This is a program whose conception compels admiration. Further, its significance is unique. There are no near parallels in law or in history. The author continues, what is necessary to realize this idea? For the religious side of it, Palestine restored as a center of Jewish culture and worship, if Zion is to be a geographical fact and not merely an ideal condition, no other place on earth will serve. Sophisticated religion tends to turn its primitive concepts into allegories, and Zion may be thought of as a Jewish counterpart of the kingdom of heaven, a poetic symbol for the final state of social evolution, without a specific locus. But orthodoxy is concrete in its imagination and gives Zion a body as well as a soul. Medieval Jewish mystics, renewing their ancient splendor of rabbinical learning, tried to transplant their schools to Tiberias and Safed or Safad. And to this day, that the element of realism is faithfully continued in a current textbook of Jewish religion, one reads this, quote, by the messianic time of the, or the, quote-unquote, the days of the anointed, the chief of our nation hopes, we mean one, the days of the restoration of Israel to the Holy Land, the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, the resumption of the divine service therein, and the return of the divine glory to Zion. Two, the days of the universal cessation of warfare and the highest development of all human virtues and happiness, close quote. The universal human hope is there, but the distinctive hope of Israel is there also, requiring the physical and historic Jerusalem. For the material and social sides of the program, various conditions are necessary, some of which, unhappily, do not exist in Palestine. Good soil in plenty, abundant water, varied natural resources, an immigration unified in spirit though drawn from all parts of the world, an opportunity to exercise genuine political control. What shall we say? That the program faces difficulties or that it faces impossibilities? We have to reckon with an inexhaustible moral enthusiasm. We also have to reckon with very stubborn facts. A great community must have its economic rootage. Nothing qualifies Palestine for this role except the courage with which the Zionists have faced the uphill struggle with a meager and thirsty land. Palestinian soil will support a close settlement, having European standards of living only with the application of a maximum of capital, a maximum of labor, and the science of the 20th century added to agricultural talent, skill, and experience. Zionism is resolutely prepared to supply the capital, the labor, and the science, and to acquire the rest. Its spirit is magnificent, many of its results remarkable. It is not for any outside observer to cry impossible, but it is necessary to consider the costs of success. Some of these we can discern with the aid of the figures now available. And then he continues. I'll spare you that. But it does give a lot of understanding as to what's going on. I'll just skip over all the numbers. This is a rude estimate, Hawkins writes. All figures will be revised as the slow business of survey goes on to completion, but no correction can alter the essential truth it intends to convey. The extraordinary pressure for more land which Zionism even now creates, the disproportionate draft on the best soil, how can this draft be met? And it goes on and it talks about irrigable lands and some of their goals, the things that they had in mind. Continuing, he says, under such circumstances, it must be excessively hard for the Zionists to refrain from coveting his neighbor's land. Collectively speaking, he has the money. The Arab on the land is commonly poor. Either he is a tenant cultivator whose livelihood may be sold over his head by his landlord, or he is an owner to whom a mounting price may become an irresistible temptation. At first, it could be assumed that at some figure or other land could be bought. But now the corporate apprehensions of the Arabs crosses private transactions. Arab authorities denounce land sales to Jews. Campaigns are occasionally started in the Arab press against the would-be seller. And apart from this, the process has an evident limit. For while in the 12 years the Jewish population has increased through immigration and natural growth by 100,000, the non-Jewish population has increased through natural growth alone by roughly 120,000. The Arabs are not melting away before the Jewish influx. They are merely moving. Excuse me. They are merely moving from, because the pages are very carefully stuck together, from the better land to the poorer land. They see 30,000 Jews, 1/30 of the population, holding 1/5 of the fertile land and requiring much more. They see a large share of the wealth of the world backed by British power, abetting this growing acquisition. They reasonably foresee and fear that it would not be too much for a successful Zion if all the exploitable land of Palestine were to become Jewish property, leaving to the growing Arab majority the 2 million acres of rocky waste. Let us suppose this economic difficulty surmounted. Note simply that to accomplish this, the settlements must have every advantage, including the intensive application of modern methods, the spread of electric power and motor roads. Industry must be developed wherever possible with a sprinkling of small shops and factories. The landscape of Palestine, already marred, must take the further consequences. Let us leave out of this account also the dismaying fact that many of the newer immigrants from Eastern Europe have little evident unity of purpose or spirit with the older Jewish residents, the 55,000 Jews of the pre-war period, and the devoted Zionist technocrats.
Happy holidays from all of us here at Oracle Broadcasting. Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traveling traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet spy products today. Because video never lies.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So again, returning to the Spirit of World Politics by William Ernest Hawking, written back in 1932, an eyewitness observer, a man studied in all things Near and Middle East, a philosopher in his own right, a historian certainly, and a good writer. He says, let us leave out of the account also the dismaying fact that many of the newer immigrants from Eastern Europe, mostly Eastern European Jews, mostly Russian Jews, etc., have little evident unity of purpose or spirit with the older Jewish residents. The 55,000 Jews of the pre-war period and the devoted Zionist pioneers. One must speak here from impressions, since there are no statistics of the hearts of men, and there's no way in which an organization can control the motives of those who apply for entry. To me, it's again the author writing, to me, eyewitness testimony, to me it appeared that the new arrivals were commonly devoid of Judaism in the religious sense, or of any religion except the social gospels of the oppressed, Zionists. Socialist, that they hope much from the future but are free from sentimental attachment to the past, including the Jewish past. In that ill-omened march to the Wailing Wall in 1929, they carried not the means of worship, but the Zionist flag. In the words of one interpreter, their nationalism is a, quote, a secular nationalism, psychologically religious, close quote. I.e. devoid of dogmatic sincerity. If the soil has any sacredness to the piety of Muslim, Jew, or Christian, they show but a subconscious awareness of it and are ready to disfigure Palestine unconcernedly with the marks of a Western experimental civilization. Their hope is to enrich the world by demonstrating some advantageous novelty in social order, education, literature, and drama. Zionism will be justified, they think, in proportion as it hastens to, quote-unquote, contribute. It is no light task to make these emancipated spirits into a moral unity with those who see that Zionism is justified in Palestine only for those to whom Palestine is a holy land. But let us suppose this task of moral unity also accomplished, so he's having to make suppositions based on their propaganda. This side is essential. Perhaps from the psychological point of view, the chief is central. For all the human functions, it is just this one of running his own nation, making his own laws, dispensing his own justice, providing his own statecraft in defense, of which the Jew, whose genius is the capital L law, in his dispersion has most keenly felt himself deprived. And it is just this side which in Palestine is most demonstrably impossible of achievement. And there's a lengthy quote here, which would be delightful, by Maurice Samuel, but you'll have to try and find a copy of this book for your own library. For how can the social and political spirit of any people express itself without a connected community and without that community under its own control? Physically speaking, Zion and Palestine is a dappling of separate settlements, interspersed with far greater numbers and areas of alien elements. Further land purchases on a large scale might mend to some extent this physical brokenness, but when will a Jew be able to stand on any hill in Palestine and say of the land in sight, "This is ours"? Well, we all know the rest of that story, and there's more there. But I just want to jump over to the next part. And I wish there was time to read all of this to you, or interest on your part to hear it. But maybe if it goes over your head and you want to go back, you can listen to the archives and pick it up. Chapter 22, Political Zionism. In October of 1930, the British government took the awaited and necessary step. It issued a statement of policy in Palestine, the White Paper of Lord Passfield. Does anyone in the audience know who Lord Passfield is or was? I'll tell you. His name is Sidney Webb. You might look up Sidney and Beatrice Webb, co-founders with George Bernard Shaw and others of what we know as Fabian Socialism. But this white paper of Lord Passfield arrives to supplement the Churchill Statement of 1922. Definition being wanted, Lord Passfield defines in black and white, states not only what His Majesty's government will do and cannot be prevented from doing, but also what they will not do and cannot be browbeaten into doing. A remarkable white paper, remarkably received. And there are footnotes that lead you to the name, the official name of that white paper. For the first time since the launching of the mandate, that's the Palestinian mandate, a measure of Arab approval, the annual Arab celebration of the Balfour Declaration, namely by a general strike, that's the way the Arabs celebrated it then, the Balfour Declaration, they called a general strike, is called off by the Arab executive. The Arab press growls more gently, gives signs of a relenting humor. There is good reason for this lifting of Arab heads. This white paper, for the first time, proposes positive action in behalf of the Arab populations. It is time. The Mandates Commission has taken courage and offered plain criticism to the British government for passivity toward Arab needs. Here's the quote. The Arab element might have found its interests safeguarded by a government agricultural policy, including not only public works to develop the cultivable land, but also the organization of agricultural credit, together with an educational campaign which would have initiated them into the workings of these institutions. Such action could only be taken by the government, for it could not be expected that the Arabs would take it themselves. Though undertaken for the direct benefit of the Arabs, it would have indirectly helped towards the establishment of a Jewish national home. And there's a lot more. What is the Zionist response? An emphatic and general repudiation of any such white paper, punctuated by resignations of leading officials. You can just hear, oy vey. Among them, Dr. Weizmann, Chaim Weizmann, chief spokesman of political Zionism since the war, of the need for coming to terms with Arab feelings, of seeing the rare chance of the moment, not a trace. These protests demonstrate the power, extent, and determination of the Zionist organization, capital Z, capital O. They raise the serious questions whether that power is among the forces making for peace in the world or for strife. Dr. Weissman, in resigning, made it clear that he has little faith in getting on in Palestine by an understanding with Arab leaders. You think they're coming to the table? You think they have a roadmap to peace after this past 60 years? If it is, here's a quote, if it is demanded of us that we should build our national home absolutely without friction, we are being asked to do the impossible, close quote, Weissman stated. Certainly no important work is ever done on this planet without friction, or as they say, you can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs. But the time comes, and it concerns the public, when peace must be made. Peace, peace, and there be no peace. If this occasion for the meeting of minds is to be intemperately rejected, it must be on grave grounds, such as these, that Arab favor is being purchased by the sacrifice of Jewish rights, and thus of British honor. This is the accusation. The word betrayal is freely used. What are the grounds for this charge? They reduce to 2 points, our author states, change of emphasis and the demand for delay. Of the change of emphasis, there can be no doubt in Mr. Churchill's view this is the main difficulty. One feature of this change is the positive interest in the Arab case, above adverted to, which change we cannot regard as a defect. With this goes an insistence on the equal weight of the two obligations of the mandate toward the Jewish national home and toward the non-Jewish population. If objection is made here, it must be because Zionism wishes to make the obligation to the national home primary. Zionists often speak, indeed, as if the national home were the whole object of the mandate and the sole reason for the British appointment, forgetting that the mandate must, in the nature of things, have a wider purpose than the Balfour Declaration. The white paper, again written by Sidney Webb, adverts to this view, quote, that the principal feature of the mandate is the passages regarding the Jewish national home, and that the passages designed to safeguard the rights of the non-Jewish community are merely secondary considerations. This is a conception which His Majesty's government has always regarded as totally erroneous. But an equal regard to the two obligations, besides being the only decently just attitude of the mandatory, has already received the express sanction of the Mandates Commission, capital M, capital C, and is no longer a matter of debate. And it continues, and it talks extensively about the various parts and pieces of the argument, but it's clear to the reader in these pages that it was all steam ahead and damn the torpedoes, the Jewish national home or nothing. And the Arabs were being pushed to the side, forced off of their land, and corralled ultimately to the Gaza Strip.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass. Pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
Mm-hmm.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So we could ask ourselves just exactly what was the idea of this mandate? What was the idea of this Palestinian mandate? What was this idea of allowing Jewish settlers and pioneers to move into that area originally? Largely, the idea was to buy the support of international Jewry, the financial power on the planet, to get their support for the Allied powers in the upcoming World War II, World War I Part II, we could say. That was where the governments were coming from. That's where the financial community was coming from. And the little plum here was this national home for the Jews in Palestine. The Zionists, really, as we've already discovered, that they were not Jews per se. It was a tactic. Zionism is a tactic. It's not a faith or a religion. It's an ism. It's a belief in this idea that the Ashkenazim and the Eastern Europeans that have adopted over the years Jewry should have some special place, and that they stand on the words of the Bible as if giving them some chosen people status, and that this land was promised to them so long ago, which flies in the face of thousands of years of, at least 1,600 years of Arab occupation. But anyway, it continues and says, there is, however, another phase of the change of emphasis, and that is a marked plainness of speech in criticizing the deeds and the attitudes of both Zionist and Arab. Thus, His Majesty's government feels bound to remark that they have received little assistance from either side in healing this breach. There has been a press campaign in which the true facts of the situation have become obscured and distorted. Sound familiar? There have been sustained tension and agitation on both sides, also pressure and threats, by which His Majesty's government will not allow themselves to be moved. Here and there, the Jewish agency is mentioned as overreaching its place. Quote, claims have been made on its behalf to a position in regard to the general administration of the country, which His Majesty's government cannot but regard as going far beyond the clear intention of the mandate. In other words, you let that camel get its nose under your tent. You let a few hundred thousand move into your country, and Katie bar the door. The next thing you know, they'll be rewriting your constitution and establishing czars. The cooperation between the Palestine administration and the Jewish agency is to be continued and improved. But this special position of the agency cannot entitle the agency as such to share in the government of the country. According to the mandate, the government may arrange with the agency for the construction or operation of public works, services, and utilities, but this provision is permissive and not obligatory. In other words, rising up from the authority to create public works and services and utilities, the presumption was that they could establish their own government in this mandate. And it really bugged Her Majesty's government. These negations taken together amount to a reproof of that zeal which, interpreting the undefined elements of the mandate in its own favor, had taken the risk of meeting just such a rebuff. It had taken this risk for the second time, for Churchill's white paper of 1922 had twice declared that the special position of the Zionist executive, quote, does not entitle it to any to share in any degree in the government, close quote. And the Shaw report of March of 1930, noting that Zionist authorities had not kept within the agreed limits, had called for a more explicit statement, not so much to restrain the Jews as to dispel the disturbing Arab belief that, quote, the Zionist organization, through pressure at home, can influence the acts of Her Majesty's government. To comply with this requirement and to be at the same time ingratiating was beyond the power of Lord Passfield's diplomacy. And it continues. So much more in all of this. Is this a scandalous proposal? Is it novel? Mr. Churchill had said in his acceptable white paper of 1922, quote, it is essential to ensure that the immigrants should not be a burden upon the people of Palestine as a whole, that the Jews, the Zionists, should not be a burden upon the people of Palestine as a whole, and that they should not deprive any section of that present population of their employments. But Mr. Churchill said nothing about the unemployed Arabs. He did not propose that, if there were such Arabs, Jewish immigration should stop until they find work. The present white paper seems to argue from Arab unemployment to no immigration, forgetting that if Jewish capital and Jewish labor come together, the labor employed by that new capital and existing state of unemployment is made no worse and may even be relieved. But if there were time to read the rest of it, you'd find, as we said yesterday, reading Hans Kohn's article, that wasn't the case. This wasn't an opportunity of international Jewry to funnel money into Palestine for the purposes of finding employments for their Arubs. Money was not to come out of the Jews' pockets into anyone else's pockets but Jewish pockets. And to hell with the consequences. They were to buy land, they were to buy the arable land, they were to buy the fertile land, they were to buy the waterways, the rivers, everything that was of value in the country, and then employ only Zionist labor to make their development and make their improvements, as though the original inhabitants did not exist, and that's exactly how they're treated, as nothing more than animals suitable for slaughter. Have we read this white paper correctly? Question mark. It is not if Arab unemployment exists. It is only if the Arab immigration of Jews adds to that unemployment that immigration is to be restricted. As the Simpson report points out, the principles of derived demand would justify the immigration of Jewish labor even when there are Arab unemployed in the country, if the newly imported Jewish labor is assured of work of a permanent nature through the introduction of Jewish capital. It would be hard to be more explicit. Jewish immigration is to be restricted. And see, they fought so strong against that. They wanted to go full steam ahead. They didn't want to blend in. They wanted to have the southern and northern borders of America thrown wide open so that everyone could flood in, so that all of their people could flood in. Using an analogy to our present situation, he objects a sweeping restriction which it does not propose. He implicitly approves the reasonable restriction which it does propose. And there's much more. But why this haste on the part of Zionism? Why should the proposal of delay be denounced as betrayal? The answer lies partly in the continued sufferings of Jews in the zone of incurable anti-Semitism in Eastern Europe, immigration from which has been stopped or checked by various lands formerly open to them. But it lies chiefly in a race for security through numbers, a desire to reach a position of equivalence with the other elements of Palestine, so that the representative institutions which are certain to come will find the Jews ready to hold at least their own. This desire is masked under a professed fear of crystallization. The idea of crystallization, and the word also, was provided by the Mandates Commission, indicating that the mandate placed no obligation on Great Britain to realize the national home within any fixed time limit. Crystallization. William Crystal. Irving. And there's names, and dates. And this, again, is a text that was written by a university professor. Every quote, every document is referenced at the bottoms of the pages. It's a valuable research tool for anybody that really wants to understand the beginnings of Zionism and the Zionists. You know, it's just a shame that there are a lot of Christian Zionists, people that have embraced this Talmudic system, this largely atheistic socialist system, swept into every wind of doctrine by their preachers. It's just a shame that they're not awake this morning and listening to this broadcast. Maybe you could direct some of your friends to the network so that they could come back and listen to this archive these 5 days. Tomorrow I'm going to go into and finish another article and bring out some more material on all of this. We'll introduce Shabtai Zvi and Labor Zionism from Barry Kamish, outspoken against labor Zionism. Zionism is not a religion, it's a tactic. So when we say, what is Zionism and what isn't it, it's certainly not the stuff that Hagee and the others and Falwell and the rest of them, I don't know how many people in the Council for National Policy are infected with this. It's a tactic. It's a development of a stronghold in the East, a springboard, if you will, for Greater Israel, a springboard for controlling all of the East in a new region of Western man's expansion and imperialism. It's a sad thing. It's a shame. I thank you for listening. Hope you've learned something today. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit Diginet.net. That's Diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
Turn disbelief into pain relief. If you are in pain or take prescription drugs for pain, then you need to visit TPR20info.net and get TPR20, the effective topical pain relief cream without the harmful side effects of prescription drugs. TPR20 is a non-prescription cream that relieves pain fast and fights the inflammation to keep the pain away longer. On TPR20info.net, you can read about the many uses of TPR20, like relief from arthritis, fibromyalgia, sports injuries, back pain, sore muscles, and much, much more. Buy the gift of pain relief for yourself or a loved one, and enjoy Christmas and the New Year without pain. Visit TPR20info.net or call to order at 1-877-829-9962. Order now and get free shipping in the United States and Canada. and dealer inquiries always welcome. Again, that's tpr20info.net or order by phone at 1-877-829-9962.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.